Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chattin', your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Can I have a Bounty Bar Martini?
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Evening, gentle chaps.
Evening, Rob.
Caught you off guard this time.
The idea is that we stick to some sort of format, you see. It's scientifically proven that people like formula.
Sod the format. Hey, Mark.
Sod the format. Oh, God, there'll be placards and pickets before we know it.
There will be.
Evening, anyway. Yes,
evening. Yeah. Are we all all right?
Yeah.
Marvellous.
Yes.
Fab. Before we get into it, there's a couple of things I just want to mention.
All right.
So first things first, I want to give a shout out. So, you know, remember Harriet?
Yes.
Harriet the hat maker.
Yes.
Harriet the hat maker and the glasses maker.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, yeah.
Our number one child fan. I think, you know, she listens. My own kids don't. but I just wanted to, because you know what? I'm really, 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 really proud of her, right? She's took up golfing.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
And
crazy golf, because that's the harder one.
Grown-up golf.
Oh, okay.
And she took a bit of an interest to it. So Simon, her dad, he went golfing stuff, and so she went with him. She likes it, so she started having lessons and stuff. Okay. So bear in mind, she's been doing it what, 6 months? I want to say I might be slightly off on that timing, but I think about 6 months. So I went golfing with Simon and Harriet. The other day, did 18 holes at Concord Golf Park. Nothing posh, but you know,
definitely nothing posh.
No, definitely not. It's not bad though. It's not bad. It's not bad.
No, it's all right for a knock.
She got a birdie.
Oh, really? Fantastic!
Wow.
Or a pigeon.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. But yeah, she got a birdie on a par 3. She did it in 2 shots.
Well done, Harriet.
Well done, Harriet.
Yeah. One day, Kirk will get a birdie.
I was just about to say, I've been playing. I'm doing the air quotes for the purpose of the tape.
Yeah.
I've been playing golf for what, 20 years, and never had a birdie. Never had a birdie.
Really?
Kirk thinks he's playing golf. Everybody else thinks he's having an epileptic fit.
Absolutely.
Have you never had a hole in one, by the way, as well?
Yeah, well, no. So I was once putting for an eagle, okay? Yeah. So it's a par 4, and I drove the green in 1 shot.
Right.
So I was putting for an eagle.
Yeah.
And ended up on a double bogey. So I ended up with 6 shots in total.
What went wrong? Did you get the windmill? Was that in your way? The spinning wheel?
There was a moving bridge and all sorts.
But well done, Harriet. It sounds like you are a much better golfer than I am.
I just, you were brilliant.
Well done, Harriet.
Well done. And just while we're talking about shout outs and stuff, we've had a message from one of our listeners. Would you like me to read it out?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We like getting messages, don't we?
We do like getting messages.
We don't get enough of them now, do we? We used to get loads.
I was thinking of just making them up at one point.
Yeah.
I got one the other week and it just said, will you shut up?
They
can't
be
talking
directly.
About us.
That,
they must have got us mixed
that,
up.
That
no, from, it was that just
was,
sent to me.
That
yeah,
from,
yeah, yeah.
That was from Ellen. So we got a message from Charlotte. So someone that I used to work with, and you know as well, Mark, don't you, from the hotel days?
Well, I knew a few Charlottes.
Are we not going through them all, Mark?
No, but I'm saying I knew
a few. Yeah, he's going to list them all now, isn't he?
So,
yeah.
So it's Charlotte Jeffries.
Oh, yes, I know Charlotte, yes.
And this is also the person, if you remember, that I sent my book to.
Oh, yes.
That she said to send a book through.
Yeah.
So this was her message. Evening all. Bit late to the party, but finally all caught up after a hiatus with crime podcasts. Everyone seems to be listening to crime podcasts, but we got there in the end.
Yeah.
And she's all caught up, which in all fairness, that's a lot of episodes that we've got now.
Yeah.
Just wanted to say that your podcast is fantastic.
Ooh.
That's nice.
My two boys even like to listen on the school run.
Oh.
They're still fascinated by the accents.
Oh, well, where was she from?
So,
I think she moved down south a little bit. Yes,
she did.
And we apologise for Rob's language.
Sorry.
I absolutely love the different topics you cover. It's a breath of fresh air. I've shared in your passion over some of the heated discussions you've had and shed a tear at the story of Daisy's psychic experience and laughed out loud at the gym more times than I can count. which is really nice, isn't it? Joe, it's lovely. It's always nice to receive some really good feedback. Keep up the awesome work. The listeners love it. Charlotte. And then there's a PS.
Oh, okay. Is it a request?
Kirk.
Oh.
Your book is bloody brilliant.
Oh.
In brackets, better late than
he's
never.
He's got a reader. Yeah.
Not my normal genre, but it had me hooked, and I would be more than happy to help with editing it if ever you wanted to send me a paper copy my way. You're definitely onto something. The storyline is brilliant. I particularly like the jumping around in history. Seriously, well done, and please keep writing.
PPS, oh. I've copyrighted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought, A, that obviously it's always nice when a listener reaches out.
It is.
You know, it's always nice to hear positive feedback and know that people are listening.
And what great feedback for us, but for you, even more so.
Yeah.
Double
whammy.
Was it encouraging?
Very encouraging. I did say on a couple of podcasts ago that since I've had a bit more of a clearer mind through doing keto and stuff like that, that I have gone back to doing the writing. I've done a few more lessons on the writing lesson thing online, and I have gone back to re-edit some of the story and stuff and make it a bit more descriptive and a bit more emotive and stuff like that. So it's going to take me a while to work my way back through it.
Yeah.
But I've redone the first three chapters.
Yeah.
Just rewriting them, sentence structure and word using and stuff like that, and it reads so much better.
It sounds like it's
going to
be ready for my summer holiday.
Well, I'm not going to. I'm
next
not gonna,
year.
Don't
I'm
hold
not
your
hold
breath.
Breath.
No,
Rob,
you don't.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
But if you send it me, this time I'll give it a read.
Yeah. Okay.
But what I have got to say, based on what Charlotte said, is there's something very dangerous about listening to funny podcasts in a gym. Because I honestly can tell you, when I've been listening to our podcasts before they come out, obviously, and I'm trying to lift 50K on a bench press, and then Mark, either one of you, say something very funny, I'm trying to keep that weight up and without laughing and then not killing yourself by dropping the weight on your own chest because you can't lift it because you're too busy laughing. Honestly, it's dangerous.
So we need to try harder, Mark.
Yeah. It needs to come with a warning. We can be funny once in every 40 podcasts.
I know. Well, in all fairness, we have had some good feedback, haven't we, from people saying that our podcast should come with a health warning because it nearly crashed or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy that people enjoy it and you know, thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Listen, guys, I need to get some off my chest about something.
It's not a moan, it's not a complaint.
I just want to know what the state of today's music is, but more importantly, the top 40.
Right.
As in music. So first of all, let me just pose a question to you. How many songs, right, be it from bands that are unsigned and bands that are signed and commercial, you know, labels like EMI and stuff like that, how many songs do you think are released on a daily basis in the UK?
In the UK.
Unsigned?
Everybody.
Do songs come out every day? I thought do they not have release dates like films do?
They used to.
I think it depends on if you're going for charting and stuff, but you can upload your own stuff to things like Spotify, can't you?
Yeah, well, so back in the day though,
they wanted to wait to optimum sales within the time frame to achieve the number of sales.
That's right. So because sales used to be based purely on
sales.
Charts used to be based purely on sales. Obviously, it takes up a very
times have changed. Now, streaming
and also on physical
still
sales.
Still the same time frame, though.
Still the same time frame. So the charts come out on a Friday now. There used to be a Sunday. It comes out on a Friday. Yeah. But every single day, there's music uploaded to, you know, to YouTube and to Spotify.
So the question you're asking is, how many songs are released across everything?
Across,
independent...
Yeah, how many songs? Yeah, as in new songs
in the UK.
In the UK on
I'm
a daily basis.
Do you know the number?
Yes,
I'm going to absolutely stacks.
Well, I'm going to guess only in the UK, 90
a day.
A day,
no,
okay,
more than that.
I'd have said 3,000.
Yeah, I can't put a number on it, but it's a lot.
It is a lot.
I, I listen to a lot of artists that you won't have heard of that don't chart.
Of course. Well, listen, music is very, very diverse now, isn't it? It's days have gone where, you know, in the...
It's so accessible.
Of course, it absolutely is. In 70s and 80s and 90s, to some degree, you know, the music was... I won't say regulate, and that's not the right word, but it was more... It was harder to release stuff. I mean, you, for example, I know you've released a bit of stuff, Mark. You wouldn't be able to have done that in the 80s, really, without, you know what I mean? Because there's no internet and stuff. So, of course, music's more accessible than that. But on a daily basis, 60,000 songs are released every single day.
60,000?
60,000 every single day.
I can imagine it being a ridiculous number.
420,000 a week.
Yes, that's the figure.
That doesn't even make sense.
You didn't do that without a calculator.
No, I did it with a calculator.
I was ready for it. They're brand new songs, tracks that are composed every single week.
420,000 exactly. Just in the UK.
You only have to think about how many musicians there are in the country.
Yeah.
Or people that think they're musicians.
Well, either or.
Yeah.
Of all different levels, you know. And they can all access somewhere to release their music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily signed to a label.
No. I still think it's a lot.
It's a staggering amount of music, isn't it?
I just want to be clear.
Okay.
Right, because, you know, this does go out publicly or whatever. Are you sure that is in the UK?
Yes.
Because I know what you've just said, I get that. Yeah. But I mean, there's 70 million, just 70 million population.
We're not saying that somebody's only doing a song a day.
Can I just clarify that when I said the UK, I'm not saying that it's UK artists. There might be American artists releasing songs in the UK.
Okay.
I'm not. So,
all right.
So there might be 20,000 songs released in America that are not released here.
But I'm talking about
60,000 songs are released in the UK from around the world into the UK.
I thought you meant just people in the UK.
No, sorry.
I'm thinking 60,000, be right.
When I said 60,000 in the UK, it's the figure's going to be probably higher because there's songs to include from the other countries. Because,
well,
I mean, a lot of European songs are not ever released in the UK because we have no interest in it.
But I get what you mean. It could be anyone in the world, but release it in the UK.
In the UK.
Okay. So that's still massive.
It's a lot of thing, but that's not my gripe. It's not a gripe, but the state of the top 40 in the UK. So when I say charts, again, context to this, I know there's lots of charts out there. There's a Spotify chart, there's a TikTok chart, there's lots of different charts.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the official top 40 Gallup, I think, is the company that does it, on the BBC, the official charts that are recognised by Guinness World Records and things like that.
Yeah.
In the top 40, right, again, this is not a criticism of genres of music. I'm not saying that music's crap now and it used to be better then. That's not what I'm saying either. But what I am saying is, in the top 40, there's no bands in the top 40 anymore. There's no pop music in the top 40 anymore. There's no ballads. When was the last time?
There is, and there are.
Okay, so what are you saying there isn't?
So there are bands in the top.
There's no band in this week's top 40.
Maybe not this week.
And there wasn't last week.
Are you talking generally or just this week?
He's talking this week.
I'm talking for the last couple of months, there's been no band from any country in the top 40 in the UK.
Can I ask just a question, though?
Yep.
And this sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not. When you say there's no pop music in the top 40, doesn't pop stand for popular?
Yes.
So doesn't that mean whichever genre is popular is pop music?
Yeah. Again, context. I'm talking about pop music as in like Britney Spears, you know, that sort of type of music.
Okay. So stereotypical pop music.
I've always struggled with the word pop
music.
I'll rephrase it more to bubblegum pop.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That sort of thing. Britney Spears, that sort of thing.
I would argue that the majority of the chart is pop music.
Well, it's not.
I know you get a lot more sort of hip hop and R&B and stuff that's infiltrated.
I would call a lot of that.
By definition, because it's popular, therefore it's in the top 40.
I don't get hung up on the abbreviation,
right?
There are genres specifically. Pop music is, you know, like you were saying, Mark.
Bubblegum pop,
but you know, it's the Robbie Williams, Spice Girls, Boyzone.
We're really showing his age here, aren't we?
One Direction.
And when I said there is none, I mean there is none in the charts this week, but I'm talking generally. The charts on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, there's generally not much pop music around.
I couldn't name you one song. right now in the top 40.
Okay.
Or that's been in the top 40, I reckon, for the last 3 months.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, Sabrina Carpenter's a pop artist, if you like. She's not R&B. She's not rock. She's not indie.
Never heard of her.
You've never heard of Sabrina Carpenter?
Nope.
Wow. You've heard her a lot. Mark will know who she is. So she's
only through my daughter.
But she would be classed as a bubblegum pop artist as such.
Yeah.
So she's the sort of books the trend, if you like. But there's not a lots of them in the charts. There's not a lot of Sabrina Carpenters in the charts.
No.
You know, that's what I'm saying. There's not much pop music. You go back 10, 20 years, you know, charts with, you know, the Steps, there's S Club 7, there's Five. But these are all sort of poppy bands.
Which I get that. I totally get that. But do you not think that through time music genres change? And so, like, for instance, if you went back to the 60s, a lot of the charts were rock and roll.
Yeah,
you go to the 80s, you had a lot of power ballads or whatever. So is it a case
new
of
romantics and
yeah sort so of is it a case of where's this music gone, or is it a case of that's what's the type of music that's in the charts now is what's popular, so therefore that's what artists are releasing because that's what people are buying or streaming or listening to.
I think there's a mixture of two things.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
I think it's a mixture of two things. There is an element of fads, if you like. So like in 90s, there were a lot of indie music in charts, weren't there?
Yeah.
Which were obviously very big. However, a lot of the music that you'll see in charts is heavily controlled by what I call corrupt music industry, which is what it is. It's corrupt. People buy places. They buy places in charts. But, you know,
can I ask how? I'm very naive to all this. I listen to absolute country in the car or audiobooks. That's what I listen to. So, and I know country have their own chart and stuff. Yeah. So that's so all I listen to.
You only have to get record company producers, you know, owners, whatever, paying the owners of
radio stations
to playlist the top of the playlist, you know, their biggest artists.
Has it not always been like that, though?
Yeah, that it's corrupt.
Yeah, it has.
Oh, okay. So you're not saying it's changed to be corrupt. You're saying the music industry's always been corrupt.
To what extent, I don't know, but yes, there's a level of corruption. I were listening to somebody on Facebook who was a music producer, produces dance music. And it only just sort of dawned on him recently how many of the charts that you can go to buy music as a DJ, dance music charts, and the record companies are paying for chart positions those charts.
I don't know. Oh, sorry. So like private charts and different...
Yeah, absolutely. So like Beatport and things like that. And so you'll go on there and there'll be a top 10 house tracks of the moment.
Right, and they're paid to put that track in that top 10.
So, I'm not being awkward. I just genuinely want to understand what you're saying. So if we were to take it into our consideration for podcasts, it would be like, so Spotify have got a podcast chart.
Yeah.
It's almost like us being able to afford £500,000, I'm just using that as a number, to turn around to Spotify and say, there's £500,000, can you please make us your number one podcast for the week?
Yeah.
It goes into number one podcast, so therefore a lot of people then download it and listen to it because it's the number one podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
The minute they don't want to do it anymore, they can spit you out.
So we've talked about pop music. So again, where's the bands in the charts? There's no bands in the top 40 at all. Bands don't... I mean, again, there's lots of bands out there.
Yes.
I'm talking about in the top 40 from a week in, month out thing.
I think...
There's no bands.
Yeah, I think a lot of artists now, bands, if... in particular, do well with albums more than they do singles.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you will see bands charting in album charts.
Absolutely. Well, the ratings, the band is a good example. They've had no singles top 100 at all.
They've had no backing whatsoever.
But why?
But their album, The Kids Off The Estate, went to number one in the album charts, but they've had no singles in the top 100 at all.
Really? So I understand the mechanics. I don't agree with it, but I understand the mechanics of how people end up in the top 40 or whatever. But if you've got a band like the Ratings, for instance, using that example, that's had a number one album, why is there no backing there? Why is there nobody doing that for them to put them in the top 40 or whatever?
I think it's the level of the level of money. I think I mean, you look at these sorts of bands and how much they're achieving, or seemingly, and it's amazing. It's fantastic. They're filling arenas of 20,000, filling Clifton Park 20,000 people, selling out every venue they play at. But I don't think record companies are interested unless they can sell out arenas.
But okay. How did they release an album that makes it into the? That makes it to the number one album chart, but then not one of those songs manages to get into the 100 singles
because
chart.
The dynamics of it are completely different.
Exactly, people aren't buying singles, and so what a lot of bands will do now is they will do massive drives on albums, and that's an opportunity for them to make some money. So they'll self fund getting the CDs printed, vinyl, cassettes. Even some bands will do a pack of a vinyl. A CD and
a cassette.
And a cassette.
Yeah. Because was it
as like a promotional collector's sort of item?
About 7 years ago. No, I bet it's more. I'm just losing track of time. But let's just say, for argument's sake, 10 years ago, Ed Sheeran brought out an album. Mm-hmm. And not only did the album do very well, but every single chart, every single song, did it not take number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
something
9th
like
place
it
in the chart?
It took
every position in the chart from one album.
That's only got streaming, though, isn't it?
You've only got to look at... So how prominent... And I'm going to get onto something else in a second. How prominent they are when you're looking through music, what's for you? The artists that are popping up. And there's a reason why certain artists are always popping up. They'll be getting played every, I don't know, 15, 20 songs on radio. Mm. You know, they'll be on the top playlist cycles on radio. Mm-hmm. Radio stations will have a different number of playlists. Might have, I don't know, 4 or 5 playlists. And then your top playlist will get more rotations. And then further down the list, they'll get fewer rotations, but they're still on the playlist. But then you get your artists that aren't even thought about, that won't even get a look in.
Right.
Ed Sheeran, not specifically Ed Sheeran, but one thing I'm going to come to, and it's a real bugbear of mine. If I'm in the car and I want to listen to some new music, because Tesla's got Spotify built into it, so obviously I pay for it, but anyway. And I'll want to search for some new music, and I'll click on something, I'll find a new track by an artist or whatever, an artist I've not heard of, and I'll go, oh, fantastic, play artist radio. Every so often, or after so long, it'll revert back to the commercial stuff. And it's what the labels are wanting to push.
Right.
Mm. I mean, no, I'm not for one second saying this is a judgment. Like on the ratings, for example, that because they're not in the singles charts, they're rubbish. It's not a judgment. I'm just saying that there's in the charts, there's a lack of all these. It's very diverse, the charts, yeah. But like I said, where's the bubblegum pop gone? You know, where's the bands gone? Another genre. Where's the ballads gone? You know, there were some big ballads in the 70s, 80s, even 90s, even early 2000s to some degree. When last time you heard a good ballad, not particularly a power ballad, but just a good love song?
Again, it's because Adele's on holiday, that's why.
But again, I come back to what I've said before, though, that surely end-of-day artists are wanting to produce music to sell.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how they make the money, mm-hmm. Yeah? So therefore, artists are going to release tracks that are selling, that are streaming, that are popular in society. So is it a case of where's the ballad, is it a case of where's the ballads gone, or is it a case of nobody's interested in listening to ballads at the minute, therefore no one releases them because
you could say that. It's a chicken and egg situation, but
there's stacks of it knocking around.
I was just about to say, I'm just not sure if we're framing it wrong incorrectly in that there's lots of songs out there that could be classed as power ballads, but we don't do that because our age, a power ballad to us is something that sounds like...
A ballad, not a power ballad.
Yeah, sorry, a ballad. A ballad to us is something that you'd almost associate with something from the 70s or 80s.
That's a power ballad.
Something that has a sound that you go, oh yeah, that's a ballad.
True.
Whereas now it's Travis Scott, or not Travis Scott, Callum. Scott.
Callum Scott, yeah.
Chappelle Roan.
A lot of the stuff that he brings out, I think you would class them as ballads.
I'm not so sure we would.
Teddy Swims?
Who?
Teddy swims.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
it's a bit more country, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but and country's do, we a massive... don't assume that they're ballads, but I think no, they would come under the genre of ballad.
There's songs in...
I know what you're saying. Somebody sat behind the piano, like John Legend or somebody.
There's ballads from 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even 2000s that are all love songs, right? From all the, from 40, 50 years of music. Yeah. Yeah, in the last 10 years, there's been hardly any love-type songs. Now, I understand your point you're saying, Kurt. Maybe there's a supply and demand thing, but surely, is that saying that no one, 40 years we love ballads, now all of a sudden we don't like love ballads?
I think
the charts have just no love songs in them at all. We just don't have them anymore.
It's what people are listening to and consuming on repeat, isn't it? So
yeah.
It's out there, but don't forget, we've got so much access to so much more music than we ever have done before.
Yeah. True.
The floodgates have opened.
Well, based on what Mark said, there's more songs released daily.
Yeah.
Now than what was released yearly, if not at one point, more. In every you decade.
You can literally sit there and upload something to the world.
Yeah.
There is a process, but you know, within a couple of days, you can have something out to the world.
Like we do.
But there is stacks and there is stacks and stacks and stacks of music out there. There's ballads. There's loads of bands.
Yeah, there's all this music out there, but not in the charts.
Just because they're not charting doesn't mean they don't exist. Now,
I didn't say that.
He never said that in his defense. But what I'm saying, well, he said, where are they all?
In the charts.
Well, they don't have to be in the charts to exist. Sadly, from your point of view, which is where you might be looking at it from, as a DJ that plays sort of parties and things, you might want to play something, oh, this is a brilliant song. They'll have never heard of it because it's not in the charts. And they'll go, well, have you got any Chappelle Roll? Or have you got any... APT by
H.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would say 90% of the time my music has to be commercial music.
Yeah.
It cannot be underground. It cannot be, you know, it has to be 90% commercial music that people know.
Yeah. So would you not say that the chart is predominantly governed by the youth of today? That they're the people that are mainly... Downloading what would be consumed as what would form the charts.
They're the end product. Yeah. The public are the end product. They're the people that are eating it. The record labels are deciding what you're eating.
I would have agreed with that 20 years ago.
No, it's definitely the case now.
Can I just bring it back, though, a minute? Right. Because what I don't want to do is I don't want us to fall into the trap of...
being four old men.
Yeah.
Do we not think?
Because end of the day, there's obviously yourself, Mark, that looks at the top 40 every week. You do your editing for your songs, and you do your editing to take all swearing out and stuff like that, and old videos, and you play it week in, week out, and get asked for it. Mark, obviously, your music knowledge is incredible. It really is incredible. I've always said that.
What, mine's not?
No, it is. I'm just saying.
I'm joking.
But do you not think that in the 60s, 50s and 60s, late 50s and early 60s, do you not think that there were 40-odd-year-old men or women, maybe not sat around making a podcast, but sat there talking about, music today isn't like what it was before? So, like, if you look at the music or the how popular certain music were of the 20s and 30s and 40s is very different, a very different sound to what the chart would have been full of in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So surely that's not a case of the music from the 20s and 30s and 40s is rubbish or it's all of a sudden disappeared or whatever. It's just evolved and changed. So therefore, do you not think they'd be sat there going, well, where's all this Charleston dance and stuff like that? Yeah. When obviously Elvis Presley's in the charts. So is it a case of it's disappeared, it no longer exists, or it's just not popular anymore?
No, definitely not. Yeah, you couldn't be more wrong. In the 60s, 50s and 60s, there was a lot of the people that might be in the 40s and 50s, if you like, they were like, we're not happy about this. Our kids are getting into this rock and roll stuff.
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, free love and all that sort of thing. And they were like, we like it nice and steady. We like the 50s. We like the 40s. We like the Billy... what's his name?
Billy. Idol.
Billy Fiore and people like that who sing nice afternoon songs. And, you know, I don't want to criticise people of that age and that are into that sort of music. I prefer stuff louder, harder, faster than what these kids are listening to now. So it's not that we're older than them and we're saying, well, what you're listening to now is too fast and too furious and too rebellious.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's different.
But that's the ageist thing that you were saying about people in the 40s and 50s. I like really good guitar music. I like really good pop music. I like really good... I like all sorts of music, as you know. There is an absolute... I know for a fact I'm right that the charts or the music that kids are exposed to be able to create these chart positions is controlled to a huge effect. It's the same stuff that's getting cycled all the time. You look at the stuff, the sort of music that still recharts now, and there'll be some stuff in there now. I bet you'll have people. You'll have like the Killers will go back into charts. You'll have, I mean. Kate Bush went back into charts because of Stranger Things. You know, when we were growing up, and I'm falling into this ageist trap now, there wasn't so much of the old music getting recharted because there was loads of good credible music, enough of it that sort of forged its own way forward. You can see where the weak spots are when TV programs are influencing the charts. Do you know what I mean? And it's the way that music's being consumed now. It's on demand, it's through streams, it's people are exposed to it through TV programs, but certainly the record companies are deciding on a large part what's getting the exposure.
There's an artist out that we've actually referenced a couple of times on this podcast, which is Ren, who is absolutely independent. He has no record label behind him. He has no one behind him. And he is absolutely exceptional. But he does talk about how difficult, he makes light of how difficult it is for him to succeed as an artist when he's got a lot of companies out there that are trying to, not always to silence him, but they don't want to. They don't want to let him have the success.
Yeah.
They are trying to hold him back because ultimately they want that limelight.
There's another artist... Gerry Cinnamon.
Yeah.
And he openly talks about it. We saw him a few years ago at Kendall Calling. He just played a massive gig at it's the Inner City Festival in Glasgow, Transmate.
Gerry Cinnamon's Belter.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of his songs is Belter, yeah. Yeah, and he played Transmate in Glasgow. And he's very much been trying... I don't know how old he was at the time... Let's say he were in his early 40s, thereabouts. And he were very much saying that he had this strong Glaswegian accent, or strong, I'm assuming he was Glaswegian, strong Scottish accent. He sang his songs his way, you know. He was sending stuff to record labels, and they were like, well, if we were going to do this, you can't sound like this, you can't sound like that, you've got to do it our way. And he were like, no, I want to do the music how I'm doing the music. I'm the artist.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't have any of it. However, he ended up headlining festivals and releasing albums, you know, and getting some airplay by sticking to his guns. But that's what I'm saying. The record companies could have made that so much easier and given him probably more success than he achieved by doing it the way that he had to do it.
So why weren't they recognising the talent or the how good his music was to not want to cash in on it and make money off it?
I honestly don't know. I don't know how they think. Whether it's if we're taking on somebody, they've got to be able to sell in America, you know, and whether they're not interested in just a single market, I don't know. It can only be something where they think this person's not going to transcend internationally enough for us to make... You know, enough millions for us to warrant our efforts. It's absolutely bonkers.
Well, that's all great. I want to pull it back to what I was talking about, the basics of the chart. So, like, because this is what I'm talking about. I think we're going off on tangents here. The charts for 40 years, for example, like I know you were talking about music, about, you know, us being four old men, but like in 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, there's always been different genres of music around. Yeah. You know, there weren't just Motown around in 60s and 70s. Of course there weren't. There
71 were. Years into the charts.
The chart started in 1952.
70s, 3 years then. So yeah. I weren't far off.
You weren't far off, yeah. So the charts have always been diverse. Like I said, you know, you when you think of 70s, you don't just think of disco music. You can think of all sorts of ska music, you know, rock music. It's all been very diverse. Music is more diverse than it's ever been, but not from a chart point of view. Back to my point, as in, there's no ballads, there's no pop music, there's no bands. It's all very samey.
But for me, this is where it comes down to the fact, because obviously charts are now a combination, aren't there, of sales, airplay, and streams and downloads. Yeah?
Yes.
So, but what I'm saying is that beforehand, you'd have a record company or whatever it were that would release a single. Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, Mark. 100% I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But there's also a little voice in the back of my head that kind of goes, it's kind of always been like that, that the mm-hmm. more money a record company puts into something, it will sell more.
Yeah.
And they will pick and choose who they do that with.
But don't forget, you've got more chances of making more money on demand at any one time from more artists. So you just flood the market with more of your own artists.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What I'm saying is that if you've got beforehand, Mark, back in your day.
Yeah. back in 1952.
Back in your day. If you wanted to listen to a specific single or a specific track, you'd have to go and buy that single.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you'd take that home and you'd listen to that single, yeah. Right? If you then really liked that artist, yeah, you'd have to wait for them to release their next single and you'd have to go and buy it to then listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the meantime, while you're waiting for that artist to release that single, there might be, I don't know, for argument's sake, 20, 30, 40 other artists that release different types of music that you might also go, oh, actually, that sounds all right. And you might go and buy that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about DJing wise. I'm talking about personal consumption.
Yeah.
Right. And so therefore, what you'd have is a eclectic mix of genres in a chart or whatever, because you've got different artists releasing stuff at different time and you could only have access to it when it was released and when it was available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas now, if my daughter, for instance, listens to a, let's just say Ren, for argument's sake, because we've mentioned him, a Ren track online, yeah, that's a stream, tick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she liked it. She could then just look for the next thing for Ren, and the next thing for Ren, and the next thing for Ren, and the next thing for Ren. So then before you know it, Ren's managed to get 10 downloads in the space of an hour, yeah, from 10 different tracks mm-hmm. that once upon a time may have been released over a year. Mm. And now they're just going back. I know you mentioned about that on-demand thing. So what I'm saying is if you've got a certain type of music or a certain artist that is popular, and every single download and every single stream counts towards the chart, then whatever's being listened to the most across the UK, streaming and download, is what makes it into the charts. No one has to wait for something to be released. No one has to wait for something to be done. No one has to think to themselves, to listen to that, I've got to go out and buy it. It's just there on demand.
True.
What takes over? We were only talking 40 songs. You've just talked about 60,000 songs being released daily. And we're only talking about 40 of them. Yeah? So that 40 is naturally going to be, I know this goes without saying, by the way, before anyone picks me up on it, but it's going to be just the most amount of songs that have been downloaded and streamed. Whether that's because it's forced in front of the face or whatever it is, it's going to be. So therefore, a lot of them is just down to the fact of somebody's gone, oh, I like that artist or whatever. I'll listen to that song, 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 that song.
That's true.
They're not going to get every song in charts, are they?
The point is,
one person's listened to an album.
The point is here, right? To get for it to count as one sale, I think a song needs to be streamed to something like, I could be making this figure up, but it's something like 300,000 times accounts to one physical sale. It's a lot to stream, you know, for it to register as that. And yeah, there's lots of people streaming it, but I take on board what you're saying about people are doing that, but it's no different from when people physically went out and bought something, because it's not, because all they're doing is people aren't streaming stuff they're not streaming stuff they don't want to stream. They're only streaming or listening to stuff
it's easier accessible.
It is easy accessible, but they're still only listening to what they want to listen to.
Yes, but beforehand, you could have wanted to listen to more of songs by that artist, but couldn't afford to buy the single, couldn't afford to buy the album, couldn't afford, or was waiting for the next single to be released, which might be...
I don't think that constitutes not getting a chart position.
No,
listen,
I think the top and bottom of it is
you got people who either click on Play Artist Radio or they'll play, you stick Alexa, right, you know, play me some of this. You'll play some and then they'll revert to playing whatever it wants. And it's not whatever it wants, it's what record companies are wanting you to listen to.
Yeah, but
you won't get an artist that you've never heard of.
The question that Mark's asking, though, right, is why is the current chart, correct me if I'm wrong, but why is the current chart not as eclectic of styles of music as it used to be?
I mean,
it's very obvious that for me, the record labels have put all their eggs in baskets. They've got like country artists that have popped up that have become massive all of a sudden. Teddy Swims, you've not heard of him 5 years ago, and he's literally everywhere. He's on TV. He was in a bloody.
That's fine, but I'm talking about the genres of music, right?
It's because what the record labels have invested in.
I know.
They've gone massive on country, look what they did with Beyonce. They've gone massive on it.
I understand that, but the genre of music, right, there's more genres of music. It's almost like the genres of music people are listening to is more condensed now than it's ever been.
No.
And the charts prove that. Because the charts are a misrepresentation
to what people are listening to.
The charts are the charts. I'm talking about the official charts.
They can be what they want. They're a misrepresentation.
So what you're saying is that the chart is false.
What I'm saying is it's a false representation as to what's popular.
So the charts for the last 50 years, right, have been very diverse. Like I said, in any decade, you've had different genres in those. And as you know, you've had rock music next to indie music, next to dance music. Now, that does not happen in the charts anymore. It's not happened in the charts for the last 10 years. Like I said, I mean, if you think of all the dance tracks, again, I know it's not an age thing, but you look at dance tracks from 80s, 90s, 2000s, there's not those sort of anthem dance tracks anymore. Where have all those gone? There is no...
I guess it's just in the chart, Mark.
It's not about being in the charts.
But he's talking about the charts.
I'm talking about the charts.
I understand that, but you have to get off the chart bandwagon.
I know it's what you play in your parties.
I'm not talking...
People aren't just listening to what's in top 40. As daft as that might sound, it's not.
I'm making these figures up.
I wouldn't be surprised if there aren't systems that are controlled by the record labels that are multiply streaming.
Can I ask a question? Right. So no one's bothered about the charts anymore, right? Let's just say. So everyone's just listening
to
it.
It's a big deal if somebody achieves it that shouldn't have achieved it. So it's not so much to artists that are getting it on a lap.
So no one's listening to charts anymore, right? They're just listening to what they want to listen to.
Correct.
So if they're just listening to what they want to listen to, and everyone's listening to them, everyone's listening to particular music, that's then going to chart. So when you say that the charts aren't real, not everybody's listening to playlists that are then being forced to listen to music that these publishing companies want them to listen to. Yeah. If I listen and everyone in Rotherham and Sheffield and Doncaster and Yorkshire are listening to
how many artists are you listening to at the minute?
Probably six.
But you're probably in a minority.
I don't know, but what I'm getting at is if a large group of people are not listening to playlists, they are only listening to what they want to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Then, if that's the ratings, then surely the ratings would end up charting, not because they're being forced to listen, not because people are forcing them to listen to it. They've chosen to listen to it, and they're that good that many people are listening to it that they're going to end up charting. So I don't think all the music industry is all forced, because there are people out there that don't listen to playlists. They're just listening to what they want to listen to. And because it's such good music one particular song comes out and it, for whatever reason, it just resonates with many, many people. They've not been forced to listen to it. It's just...
Mainly if it's gone
song.
Viral on TikTok.
Let's use a different example for this, shall we? Mm. So you search for something on TikTok...
Yeah.
And you watch the video. Yeah. 10 minutes later, you're watching something completely unrelated. And you're laughing your nuts off, thinking, oh, look at this. And then you're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling.
Yeah, because the algorithm is giving it you.
It's just all getting thrown around. You're saying the algorithm to some extent, but you'll still get the same popular people popping up.
Yeah, I guess so. But
let me ask you this question. So are you saying the charts have always been like this, more? Or are you just saying in the last 10 years? Because that's what I'm talking about, the last 10 years.
Don't get me
wrong.
The charts, in terms of the people who've been in positions to be able to release music commercially, and at the level that they have, has always, that's always been, there's been a level of corruption. You know, have you watched Boy Bands Forever?
Is it a TV program?
It's a documentary, a three-part documentary about boy bands in the 90s. It's about music. You know about music. No? Chart music?
They talk about
how people like Louis Walsh used to go to the papers and make up stories to get his bands in the papers. So that while they were in the papers, they'd sell more music. People would be talking about them, they'd sell more music. It's corruption. It's what it is. It's lying.
Yeah, well, it's a spin doctor thing. Putting a spin on it.
The stories were fake. They weren't putting spins on things. They were making things up.
That's fine, but that's nothing to do with the charts.
It's corruption. It is. It's corruption. So he was misleading. He was misleading the press and working with the press to get stories into the newspaper. So
people would go out and buy the records.
Correct.
But that's not corrupting the charts. It's
influencing people.
It's influencing.
Yes.
But now, people aren't parting with the money because they're buying it because there's been a fight. They're buying it because they like the song.
Because it's getting thrown in the faces. And you're talking about... So you'll have, I don't know, a handful of boy bands, let's say, in the 90s that were really big at the time. Some will have been bigger than others. You know, you'll have had people like A1, 911, and those sort of existed on the periphery that weren't ever going to be as successful as Boyzone and Take That, for example. But they were in a cluster. They were signed to labels. You'll have got other boy bands that wanted to make it, and the record labels wouldn't give them a chance. They might have been equally as good, but probably wouldn't have done as they were told, wouldn't have lied, wouldn't have done the things that the record labels wanted them to do. So there's always been an element of control.
I get all that, Mark, but it's completely far removed from what I'm talking about. It's completely far removed from it, because you're just talking about, obviously, the newspapers trying to get...
I only mentioned newspapers once.
But you're just trying to say they're making stories up. I'm not saying that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But end of the day, people are still going out and buying their records.
Correct.
Right.
Because they were front and centre.
Right.
Every opportunity they got.
Okay, so you're saying that that's always happened since charts began in 1952 to this day now?
Probably more so when you got to the 80s and 90s.
Right. So if it's been like that since 1952 to today, then the charts should be exactly as they were 10 years ago or 30 years ago.
No, music's consumed completely differently now.
Can I ask you a question that is directly related to what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Who actually gives a toss about the charts now?
Exactly.
And that's a genuine question.
Mark's losing sleep about
that's
it.
That's a genuine question. Who actually cares?
Well, okay, let me put it this way. So when artists appear on X Factor and things like that, they'll go 3 Grammys, 6, you know, 6 golden discs and all this lot, 5 chart positions. Mm. So it's not about me just being ugly up about
it. As in they are still using it as a metric.
The world, they have MTV Awards, we have Grammys, they have golden, you know. If all this is based on rubbish...
The record labels.
Record labels and that, then why are we taking any notes of these?
So,
because there's the record labels that's pushing it down your neck, telling you that all these things are fantastic.
So for the last... going back in time, back in the day,
if they're on X Factor, they'll go...
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're making a massive thing about it.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, back in the day, when we were all younger, and probably most of our listeners, the chart thing was a big thing. For all of us.
It was massive.
We used to enjoy waiting.
It was the only way you could find out who was the next big thing.
Yeah. It was like you wanted to know how your favourite band were getting on, or your favourite artist. You wanted to know how they were getting on. You wanted to know what the most current thing was. And there was so much around it. How you made your own mixtapes was by listening to the charts and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, who cares? What is honestly, get rid of it. It's not necessary anymore.
I think it's pointless.
Absolutely pointless.
Hallelujah! Hold on a minute, though. Hold on, because I do think that you've been arguing a completely different point to what Mark asked.
Not at all.
Yeah, no, he has. Yeah, he has.
The music's all there. The record labels aren't forcing it down my neck.
I understand his point.
And all the other people that are listening to all the music that's not in the charts.
I understand what Mark's saying, but it's not from what I'm not talking about that. I'm talking... And you're right. You hit the nail on the head. I'm not saying the charts are... be all and end all. I'm not saying that. I'm almost saying we have these charts, But like I said, when you watch programs like X Factor, and it's all about what the awards they've won, and it's all based on these
platforms
official charts.
It's not, more record
it's not
labels.
Based on MTV charts. It's not based on a Spotify chart. It's not TikTok. It's not based on any of this. It's based on the official chart that goes out on a Friday.
And it helps record labels sell.
And that's
more
what it's about. And it has been since 1952, even to this day.
Correct.
But the charts are completely different now from what they used to be. Yeah, you know, I'm not saying that's the right thing or wrong thing, but they are completely different. You know, like I said, like, you
know, in 1950s, it'd been full of rock and roll. 1960s, it'd been full of a lot of Merseybeat sort of sound and that sort of thing.
When it comes to charts and data, I'm an expert on this sort of stuff. I could tell you, I know about music, I know about genres and
so
charts.
So in 60s, then it would have been a lot of Merseybeat sounds.
Yeah. But there were a lot of
other
music,
that sort of stuff.
I think this is what I'm saying. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. All right, but I think what Mark's kind of getting at is the fact that you go back to the 90s, and I'm gonna struggle here. But you go back to the 90s, you may have got Madness at number one. Yeah, with some ska music. You may have then got Robson and Jerome at number two with Unchained Melody. You then may have got, I'm struggling,
a ballad.
Busta Rhymes at number three with whatever. I forgot what he sung. You may have got a dance track at number four.
And then Oasis at number five.
You may have got Oasis at number
five.
Very
diverse.
You know, sort of thing. Whereas All them music had their own following. They were all popular in their own way and stuff like that. But they're all finding their way into the chart, based on what people were consuming.
Yeah.
What Mark's saying now is literally, if you were to look at the top, I couldn't name you a single artist that's popular now. All I can go off is what I listen to, my daughters listen to, but from what I gather from what you're saying is, if you listen to chart 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that there's not that eclectic of
different genres
in that like it used to be. So I get what you're saying about the it's corrupt, and I'm totally 100% on board with you, not a problem. And I also think that it's been like that for many decades. But why has it gone from the chart being an eclectic mix of genres and now it's not? I think that's what Mark was getting.
That's exactly
getting
what I'm saying.
The way the music's consumed is different.
Not consumed, because that's nothing to do with what they're saying. It's about different genres being consumed, being listened to and enjoyed.
No, right. So how many, number one in the charts last week then, how many downloads or how many sales did they get?
I don't know I don't know off the top of my head.
Right, in comparison to 90s, what will it be as a proportion?
Well, this will be tiny compared to 90s.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's your answer.
Right.
That's your answer.
Yeah, because people are listening to it on different platforms. So
No, because all the platforms lead to the same thing. But if this, let's say they get, I don't know, 40,000 singles bought, or, whatever their downloads get to, they get to number one.
It's because there's more music. So
correct.
Therefore, people are listening to more music.
Correct.
But it's different. But
exactly.
But what I'm saying is, are people not listening to love songs, or rock music, or pop music, and stuff?
The numbers are so low. It's just spread so thinly across the whole.
Yeah, but I'd sort of kind of disagree.
As a DJ,
I don't think
I think you're wrong. But it's because it's just spread so thinly. There is an element that get certain sounds that will flood the market. Because
you're wrong, Mark. It's not spread so. As a DJ, I would know if there's any. For example, party tunes, Macarena, Saturday Night, those sort of things. Where are all those? The last time we had one of them were almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Before that,
because people don't have to.
It's called Eurovision Song Contest now.
So let me come back in. People don't have to listen to those five songs that they can only afford to buy. That's why it spreads so thinly. They're not listening to Macarena. They're not listening to.
No, not nowadays. They're not.
No, but they're the party songs that you're talking about. They're not just listening to that song. They're listening to 150 songs a week.
I just don't think there's any party songs out there, because they would be, because the DJ world would be massive, and they're onto something. We're in a world where we can make things go viral. So if there were songs out there that were good, like a party tune,
could you do me a favour? Can you make this podcast go viral?
Well, yeah, that would be good. Yeah.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
do you prefer having the amount of choice we've got now?
Yes.
Or no. Do you prefer no. having lesser choice?
Less choice.
That you could just... I thought you were going to say that, and I thought you were going
to
say that.
And the reason I'm saying that is not because I'm trying to argue with Mark. It's a bit like a menu if you're in a restaurant. I prefer less choice. If there's too much, sometimes you can't choose because there's too much.
I love having things, whether it's music, TV, film, whatever it is, on demand.
Yeah.
That's why. I literally, and you can laugh at me all you want or whatever, but I was in my kitchen the other day.
Watching Grey's Anatomy, listening to ABBA.
I was washing the pots, and I just kept telling Alexa what I wanted to, the songs that I wanted to listen to, and I was just listening to songs that I used to listen to.
And Alexa kept saying, really?
Yeah. And I was listening to, Jimmy Nail, I was listening to some REM, I was listening to some UB40, I was listening to some Moulin Rouge soundtrack.
I just bent chair leg, sorry. I wonder why I fell off.
Sally, sort this chair out.
Hey, where there's blame.
I know.
Yeah, get that number off Robbie.
Carry on.
Somebody was ringing him.
I've only had one beer and I'm like falling off my chair. It's across the corner. Sorry, Kirk.
It's all right. And I love that on-demand piece.
Yeah.
That thing of what do I want to listen to right now?
Yeah.
Tell Alexa or whatever it is, and it plays it.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. So I don't really care about all the choice, what there is, because I'm at that stage in my life or just that I want what I want.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So I don't really care about, I'm not taking anything away from your stat. It's a very interesting stat of 60,000 songs a day being released. I don't care.
No.
Because I won't listen to any of them.
No.
I won't listen to any
of them. That's why I don't care about the charts, because I'm not interested in what other people are listening to.
You say you won't listen to them. You were listening to What's His Face with Longueira, who ended up in Eurovision.
Longueira?
Sam Ryder?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He was one of the TikTok.
And I think I'll pick a genre that I like, be it country, and I'm more likely to go on what's charting in the country just because it might give me some songs that I've not heard yet, and I'll just listen to them.
If just for a second, when you go into the charts to listen to, you're just going to get spoon-fed the stuff that they want you to listen to.
Absolutely.
You try and find, using one of your, whatever streaming you listen to, you try and find an artist that you've not heard of.
No, difficult. I don't get it. But this is not just the music industry. This is Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Correct.
Anywhere.
Absolutely.
Magazines, TV programs. It is rife everywhere in life. We are given what we are going to listen to. We are told what we are going to is going to be the next fad. We are told everything we are told. Yeah. Where nothing's new.
And I love the challenge of trying to find
this
stuff.
There's no such thing as, I just happened to find. No, you didn't. It was given to you. To the point, we've talked about this before, to the point of it's heard you talking about what you want and it's already given it you.
Absolutely.
It's giving you what you want before you even know you wanted it. There's no such thing as, even when you think you've managed to find something that I've beat the system, you haven't. The system beat will always win.
No, because what if I listen to myself?
Well, they wanted you to.
I'll be the only listener. Yeah. And it'd be like that. Oh.
Yeah.
So you don't want to listen to somebody popular?
Can I ask a question, please?
Yeah.
What date's Eurovision?
Well.
Christ. Because you're going to tell me now that you're not, that I'm not coming to yours to watch it, aren't you?
Well.
He's away.
3 years. 3 years I've been to yours.
Listen.
Sit down.
You can.
With his little scoring app.
You
making
can.
Sure
I
we're
know.
Scoring.
You can go to his and watch it, but he won't be home.
Don't make it any worse than it already is. We're at a spa. During the day,
where do
that
I
doesn't
find
sound
these friends?
Anymore, during the day, if you tried,
we'll get back. But obviously, we're in Manchester, so by the time we get back, it might be like
Why
7
did you
o'clock.
Book a spa on Eurovision day, final day?
I didn't, but I'm grateful that I'm going.
I'm grateful that I'm going to the crematorium.
But I didn't know the date, and I didn't know when Eurovision was. But I'm like, oh no!
I'll sit on my own and watch it then.
So
Well, there's one thing for certain, Kirk. I won't be joining you.
No, I know.
And neither will Mark.
You'll still watch it and you'll still just message me all night, Kirk, telling me how crap everything is.
I'll be on phone to you on the journey back from Manchester, listening to your radio going, oh, that was a good song, weren't it?
I mean, if you've just been sat there saying how you like to try and find artists and bands that you've never heard of before and not popular,
mm-hmm.
Eurovision should be your crowning moment.
Yeah, you're right there, yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Boys, can we spin the wheel of fixtures, please?
Yeah,
I think we should spin the wheel.
Yeah, by all means.
Go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it gonna be?
Oh,
this is so exciting.
Go on.
He's nearly there. The Wheel of Features. So there's nothing to answer from last week.
It
was yours, Kirk.
So it was, yeah.
Shall we spin the wheel?
Let's spin it.
Spin it.
Do you want to do the honours, Mark?
Shall I spin it?
Yeah, I think you should.
I don't think I need to move. Can I spin it for me? Huh?
Moan?
Move. Here we go.
Ooh.
Ooh. What's he gonna be? Microphone over to it.
No, I haven't. But they can hear me in background.
Yay!
Bang in the middle of two.
What is it?
What the bloody hell is that?
What the bloody hell is that?
Okay, you know how this works. I'll play you a sound. You tell me what the bloody hell is that. Okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Let's go.
Okay. Here we go. I know why you're laughing.
Have you been spying on Ellen? You've been stalking my wife, haven't you?
I know.
I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Is it
a noise Ellen makes or something?
Yes, a lot.
Okay.
Do you really not know what it is?
I have no idea what it is.
There's a lot of people that will know what this is.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that might not.
But I don't know what it is.
I do.
I'm keeping an eye on you.
So Mark knows, you know. Yeah. Obviously, so there's only me that don't know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Probably in the whole of the UK.
I honestly can't believe you don't know what it is.
No.
Brilliant. Well, I'll reveal the answer next week.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, we're gonna change it up, aren't we?
Yes.
Because we kept forgetting to do the answer.
Yeah. So you'll get it next week.
All right, Paul.
Okay.
On that note, it's been a pleasure.
Catch you later.
See you, boys.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in thechat@gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.